This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please pray with me. All that is good and beautiful are the generous gifts from your heart of love. All the grace we will ever need is held out to us in your hands of hope. We have nothing apart from you, God of Pentecost. By your living example, we can set aside our fears to live as God's faithful children. By your compassion, we can stand in the midst of the broken and share healing with them. We can do nothing apart from you, brother of souls. You are the breath which gives us the gifts and lives to pour out for others. You are the composer of songs of joy which echo throughout the universe. We are nothing apart from you, Spirit of wonder, God in community, holy in one. May we never be apart from you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Have you noticed it's really difficult to pin down the Holy Spirit, even in terms of a succinct definition of what this power, this force is? It takes on such different shapes, such different postures. It can be wind at the beginning of creation, hovering over the water, but it can be a violent wind when it's visiting and bestowing gifts upon the disciples in that room where they are all gathered together. It can be tongues of fire. It can be fire and thunder from the mountain, from Mount Sinai. And the Holy Spirit comes upon prophets with visions and with words for God's people, comforting words, yet challenging words. And the figure of wisdom with God at the beginning of creation and living out righteous lives with one another is often so portrayed in Proverbs. And those people to whom we are given powers, we're called to be witnesses to Christ in the world, sent by Christ to tell of his redeeming love, of the love of God that he reflects and reflects back, and to enter into the harvest. It is these gifts of the Spirit that tells us not only what roles we are called to be and to be in, but also those fruits of the Spirit that help us to do it, to do the hard work and the comforting work and the loving work of Christ in this world. And in furtherance of that, this Spirit is with us in prayer and in sacraments. In prayer, we both know it as we sit and be quiet, as we center looking for God's peace, for God's direction, in the quietness of that still voice that will speak to us. And sometimes it's in that prayer where people speak in tongues and they know what they're saying and it's being interpreted, and it is indeed the telling of the Spirit as to directions or challenges. It is in the sacraments that we receive in the bread and wine and Holy Eucharist that are those physical things that tell us of God's presence, that remind us. It is the laying on of hands that gives us that physicality, this wonder, this approval, this presence, this validation of somehow making that divine a real presence in our midst so that we may witness to this Lord. It may be a hand, it may be the assurance of pardon in the laying on of hands, it may be in healing, it may be the sign of grace that God is amongst us. And yet, our catechism puts it so succinctly that we can recognize the presence of the Spirit when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And we are brought in love and harmony with God, within ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation. That's a short list, isn't it? So the Spirit reveals Christ, the experience of Christ, and Christ's redeeming love. We have two pictures in the Acts of the Apostles and in the Gospel of John of this reaching out of the Spirit to call us to be what we are called to be. That in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has instructed the disciples in his appearance and says, "The peace of peace be with you, my peace." He's instructed them to wait for power from on high. And indeed, they were, from our reading we see, gathered all together in one place. Key, community, obedience, staying where it's unnecessary. Pentecost was 50 days from Passover. 50 days, almost 2 months, waiting for the power of the Spirit from on high. And what would it be? And what would it do? How would it affect them? They waited and stayed together and continued in prayer. We hear what happens. The Spirit comes in tongues of fire. And indeed, the people, the pilgrims outside the window, the ones that are probably there for Passover or have come back for Pentecost, one of the three primary festivals of Judaism, to go to the temple, they are out there hearing them, and they're hearing them speaking, and they understand what they're saying in all the different languages, that the message is clear of unity, but that of Jesus being Lord of all. And they wonder about what is being said, particularly when Peter speaks of them as crucifying the Lord. They will be called to repentance. And 3,000 souls, 3,000 people spread throughout the Roman Empire who have come as Jews to worship will see Jesus Christ as their Savior. On that day, the Tower of Babel is reversed. On that day, this festival of harvest, this festival of bringing the fruits of the first harvest to the temple, as they were instructed while they were in the wilderness, yet without land, yet without anything to plant, yet with just God providing for them in the wilderness, the instruction that when your harvest is harvested, that first, you take it to the priest and you bring a sheaf of the wheat and let him wave it. And then you will bring a meal offering on the 50th day. Can you imagine the joy of being able to do that because you have seen God's promises fulfilled within your midst, of a God who cares for God's people and bringing them to that place promised but so far away, so impossible it seems to happen. Yet that harvest happens, and indeed at the time of Pentecost, the harvest begins for our disciples. Jesus also standing at that at this holiday, most likely Pentecost, the 50 days again from Passover. He's standing, and I would think that he's near the lower pool of Shalom, that it is a pool of water where the pilgrims come into Jerusalem and wash themselves before they go to the temple to present their offerings. In that context of those waters of washing, Jesus yells and cries out to them about living water. This is water, but living water you thirst, and it will come from the hearts of those who believe. Does that not remind us of our own baptism and the confirming of powers of God given to us, that it is not only the gifts that we are given through the Holy Spirit, but it is in the community that we hear that we are buried with Christ in his death, and we share in his resurrection, and yet we are reborn by this Holy Spirit. And being joyful and having joyful obedience to your Son, we bring others into this fellowship. We have this comfort of the Holy Spirit, yet there is also that challenge of the Holy Spirit to do what we are called to do as Christians, to love one another, to love ourselves, to bring others into the love of God. And often it's merely to stand up for where we are, to speak of justice, to speak of our love for the foreigner, to make sure that indeed all God's peoples are loved and cared for, to stand up where none want to be uncomfortable, to suffer, to sweat a little bit, to wonder what would happen if you were not at that place. Ivan Nicoletti writes, Pentecost reminds us that Christ's spirit is not mild or temperate, but a disturbing force, a caring love that disconcerts and unsettles the systems of this world, redefining power from the inside out and from the bottom up. We usually think and act in terms of continuities, right? Predictabilities, repetition, and schemes and plans that we make. And the Pentecostal event shows us God's capacity to interrupt, to break those schemes open, and to violate those formulae. It is bold and a risky spirit, even disobedient, when it is a matter of uncovering new paths of life. One of the people that I remember today is Reverend Michael Judge. He was, in fact, the first fatality of 9/11, a Catholic priest and Franciscan friar, chaplain to the New York City Fire Department. For years, I kept a little plaque near my keyboard for the and it said, Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet, and tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. Exactly. And sometimes we are cognizant of the fact we need to get out of the way, but other times that we need to be in the way, Christ road for others. Particularly now, we're called to stand up for those who can't, stand up for themselves, those who are attacked when labeled unjustly, for those who need people who love them and to care for them. The Holy Spirit is fire, and fire gives light. Fire gives way of the path, but fire can also burn. Let it burn in our hearts so that we may carry out Jesus' command that we be sent, that we go into this harvest that is plentiful with so few laborers doing the work. They were called to do that in his name. And I repeat, we are nothing apart from you, Spirit of wonder, Spirit of chances and transformation, God in community, holy in one. May we never be apart from you. Amen.
Amen.